Today's topic is the halachas of Lisha on Shabbos, meaning kneading and anything that has to do with that. So when we use the word kneading, we think of a dough. And you make a dough and you knead the dough. You mix the parts together and you create a dough out of flour and water. And that's how we see kneading, but we're going to define that in a way that it will see would apply to other things also, but yet it has its limitations. And that is, for kneading to be osur on Shabbos, it needs three conditions. And lacking these three conditions, it's not going to be an isur matoro. Number one is that you've got to be dealing with two substances that you mix together. If you take a single substance and crush it and knead it, then that is not considered as lisha. Could be the problem of toichen when you crush it, but lisha there isn't. So if you make a mush of mashed bananas, lisha there isn't. Another thing is that at least one of the two particles that we're dealing with should be small pieces, should be finely grated small pieces that you mix it together. Maybe if you have big pieces and you put something to mix it together, it's not considered lisha. So if you have pieces of fruit and you pour some liquid over them and try and mix the fruit together, you've made a fruit salad, but you haven't made a dough. You haven't done any lisha over there. And thirdly, after mixing the two items together, you're left with a new single item. I mean, they don't have to have disappeared one into another. You can't tell them apart, but at least it should form some sort of single block of matter, what we call a gush echad. It's become a unit, which the typical case is dough. Obviously, you mix your water and your flour, and you're left with dough. But if you mix your salad with salad dressing, you have salad in your salad dressing. So yes, the salad dressing does get onto the salad and give it its flavor, but you still have the solid liquid. It's two separate, quite clearly separate items. So mixing tossing a salad on Shabbos is not a problem of losh. Okay, that is just as an introduction to what is the melacha dash, what does it occur, what takes place with, what do we do in order to get to losh. Another thing to mention is that although in Boire we have a heta of samuch l'sa'uda, and in Tchina, we said there are opinions that hold that samuch l'sa'uda, if you do it immediately before you eat, there are opinions that hold that this is also a heter. We said last week it was not a unilateral opinion that makes unanimous opinion, but rather it's a minority opinion, but we use it to rely on in certain circumstances. So, but when it comes to Lash, when it comes to Lisha, so we say that that is not a heter, some of the sort that does not apply when it comes to Lisha. So again, let's just recap those three conditions that you have in order to, for something to constitute Lash. Number one, you must be dealing with two separate materials, two separate items, not just one food stuff that has been mashed. Second of all, at least one of them has to be finely ground or cut up. And the third one is that the result mixture becomes some sort of single entity, and it doesn't stay as separate items. So some practical examples to show of things that are not dosh would be, as we mentioned, if a person mashes a banana, so the mush that results of a mashed banana, mush, if he stirs it and kneads it, that is not a problem of losh and Shabbos. We did discuss last week whether mashing a banana is mutter mitzad chinah, and we had a machlokes, we had a heter from Rav Moshe, that since it becomes chinah is when you take something and you break it into smaller particles, whereas a banana or an avocado that you crush up remains one item, it's not individual smaller items, it's just that it's now more liquidy, it's more pliable. So according to Rav Moshe, there wouldn't be a problem of trina, but in other things how there is, and therefore we said we only allow it in the bottom tzorich and try to do the shinoi. But whatever, however you did it, whether it was done before Shabbos or whether it was done on Shabbos Beheta, but now that you have a banana mush, now you want to go and stir it up, that is not a problem of Lisha on Shabbos. However, you have to be careful not to add any liquid to it. So if you have mashed banana and you don't want it to go brown, so you add some lemon juice, now you have two things. You have banana and lemon juice. Now mixing it together will be a problem of Lush. And then you have to, we'll see later on how this can be done, if you do want to add some liquid to such a mixture and then mix it in. For now, we're just going to say that it would be a problem of Lush. Another example would be if you have breadcrumbs. Let's not think of the breadcrumbs that you use to make schnitzel. Let's think of fresh breadcrumbs that you have on the table. You've cut up challah and got a lot of breadcrumbs. So those crumbs, you can bunch them together. They have a certain amount. They even bond to each other and can form a lump. I think this is something that children are particularly good at, of reshaping their bread and fiddling with their challah. And the question is that Lash on Shabbos? So we're going to say that even though you might be able to clump it all together, take all the pieces of challah, the crumbs, and lump it together, make one gush out of it, one solid piece, nevertheless, it's one item, it's not two, Lash there isn't over here. But the moment you have a second item mixed in, so for example, you have a piece of challah with jam on it, jelly, then that would be a problem that when you crush it and then mix it together, that could be a problem of Lush. So it's a good thing that we don't have to tell our 3-year-olds about Lush as of yet. And at this time, if a child is going to be mushing up his challah, we're more worried about the dirt on the table and on his face, but rather than it's of Lush, but an adult shouldn't do it. So more examples of things that are not considered lush because they're lacking in one of the three categories that we mentioned would be like preparing a salad. If you prepare a salad and you add a liquid, since the pieces of the salad are relatively large, I don't mean to say that they're big, they're relative to what we talk about in the halacha of lush. You think about lush as flour and water, the salad pieces are pretty big. So then you say that the mixing of the salad with a salad dressing is not a problem of Lush. If you have a potato salad and you put mayonnaise inside, you have potatoes and mayonnaise, the mix, because the potatoes are noticeable pieces, so then that's not, even though it does stick together after you put the mayonnaise inside, but that's not considered Lush on Shabbos. To put mayonnaise with eggs, that might be mashed eggs, that might be, yes, a problem of Lush. We'll get to that meditation later. And another thing I'd like to discuss also later when we get to this is, what about mixing mayonnaise and cream? For now, we're just getting the guidelines, the rules, and the mayonnaise. We've said, A, if it's got to be two separate types of materials, of food types, B, then they've got to be small pieces, so when you make your salads, those type of things, there's no problem. Another example is if you put nuts into honey, and you mix them together, the nuts remain whole. So even though you've now made a honey nut bar, they can be eaten as one item, nevertheless, that to make it is not a problem of lishon on Shabbos. And the third rule we said is that the result of mixture becomes like one. So if you have two things that essentially they become mixed together, but they don't bind together, then there's no problem of losh. A good example of that is if you take two powders and you mix them. What would be a practical example? You take sugar and cinnamon, or sugar and chocolate powder, and you mix the two together. That is not a problem of losh and Shabbos, because because at the end of the day, they don't become one new mixture, but rather they remain as a blend of two separate items, but they're mixed together. So it's true, you want to separate them, it's going to be very hard to separate the sugar from the cinnamon, but that's not the point. The point is not whether you can separate or not, the point is what happened over here. Do you have a new item, a new mixture that is lumped together, or you have a mixture of different things? So if to mix sugar and cinnamon or something like that, then we say that is not, that they don't join, and therefore that is not a problem of lost chance. Now, when something is a problem of lashon Shabbos, I'm going to go back to say that the typical example of lishon again is flour and water. So mixing flour and water, there's no better example than that, because you have the all three properties. It is two separate items, flour and water. The flour is very fine, and when you finish, you have a dough. There's no safer to what was there before is flour and water. What you have now is a new dough. Very clearly, this is a typical example of lush, and we're going to say that mixing the flour and water does not have to be actively mixed in order to be chayav on lush. To just pour the water over the flour, and the flour is now going to absorb the water, that can also be reason to say that there is an issur of kneading over here. So in other words, even if you didn't go roll up your sleeves, put your hands inside, knead that dough, just the fact that you put the two together and they bind is reason to say that they have a problem of lisha. It's actually a whole machlokes how to learn a gemara of a bar gibbur or ein bar gibbur or whatever, but this is how we paskin, and it's going to have consequences in other cases of things that are not normally mixed together. What would be the din of adding water? So for example, here we're talking about flour and water. You add the water to the flour to the water, which way you do it. The flour will absorb the water and turn into a form of dough, even if you don't mix it. So true, it's going to be very lumpy, it's not going to mix evenly, etc., etc., but part of it will absorb and turn into a dough. That is already the beginning of the melacha of losh. Mashayin came, which, on the other hand, if you have something which doesn't usually mix nicely, you have, let us say, sand, beach sand, and you mix that with water, so that's not really something that mixes properly, it makes a new substance that you have over here. So true, you can get some form of mud out of it, but essentially it doesn't mix properly, so there we're going to have a separate discussion of whether just adding the water without mixing would be an issur on Shabbos. That's really a machlokes tanoim. Furthermore, I want to say that if you have poured water over your flour, so we said that you've done the beginning steps of the melacha of losh. Now, let us say you poured the water over the flour on Friday. It was not yet Shabbos. Can you now go and mix it on Shabbos? Maybe you'll tell me that it's mixed already. I'm just mixing it further. So no, if it hasn't been actually mixed, even though the first stage of losh has happened, we say that it's also to do it, nevertheless, it is not considered mixed, and therefore subsequent mixing will also be also, this is important because we say that generally speaking, once something is mixed, mixing a second time is not considered losh. But here we're going to say, because the first time when you poured the water and the flour together, so since you didn't physically mix it, so even though it is considered as also to do such a thing on Shabbos, nevertheless, to continue mixing it is also awesome. I'm stressing this because we'll see that later on there are exceptions to this. The exception will be if you have a mixture that you have prepared from before Shabbos, and for whatever reason you want to mix it further, you want to mix it again, or you want to add more liquid in. One of the practical examples that is discussed in Halacha, that actually was Halacha L'maaseh not so long ago, was practical just about a month ago, almost to the day. Today is the 16th of Iyar, so a month and 2 days there. We had a month ago Pesach. At the Pesach Seder, we make Haroises. To make Haroises on Shabbos is a problem of Lishcha. So this year, since the Seder wasn't Friday night, so we all got reminded to prepare our Haroises before Shabbos. You don't have a problem of Lishcha. You're dealing with ground out of small ingredients. You're mixing them with the liquid or the wine, and you're making some sort of paste out of it, so that is a good example of lishah. They were told to make it before. But what happens when you want it to be a little bit more liquidy? You prepared it on Erev Shabbos, and it comes time to dip your mara in it, and you see that it's very thick, and you want it to be thinner. So then, since lishah was done to it before Shabbos, now you may add more liquid and mix it again. And in fact, some people have that minute, if I'm not mistaken, understood from the fasting, that if you, when you're preparing your haroses for the Seder, you prepared with a little bit of liquid beforehand, and that should be fresh and good. Then you, before using it or before starting the Seder, you add some more liquid and mix it again. That's no problem. The only thing we're going to say over here is not to beat it up, not to whip it or beat it very, or mix it very in a rough and quick manner, but rather just to mix it regularly. And today we don't do much beating by hand, so most of us don't know what that means to beat something up with hand, and you're not going to, Shabbos, you're not going to put it into your food processor. But once upon a time, that was the standard procedure. You needed to beat food. You took two forks and you beat it up. Another example of something that was mixed beforehand, that can be mixed again on Shabbos, is when you have things like peanut butter, which is really a mixture of ground peanuts and oil, and sometimes when it stands for a while, the oil comes and sits on the surface. So you've got a thickish peanut butter with the oil at the top. But it was mixed once upon a time. It's not that they poured in a little bit of oil before they closed the jar. It was mixed together nicely, and with time the oil came out and it rose to the surface as the peanut butter sunk to the bottom. So now you open up a fresh can of peanut butter, and you don't want to just have oil in your bread. You want to have peanut butter, so you may remix that oil back into the peanut butter because it was mixed beforehand. So you're not doing anything new. However, if you have a peanut butter and you want to add some other ingredient to it. Example I saw given is you want to put some butter in it, or maybe want to put some margarine in it, or something like that. Then that will be a problem, because now the butter or margarine that you've added is going to be mixed into this mixture, and that was not part of the original mixture before Shabbos. You can only mix something which was there already before Shabbos, but not something which wasn't there. In the previous case, I said you can add the liquid. More liquid you can add in, not the same, but to add another solid type to it is going to be a problem. Now, another thing to differentiate in Hilchos Losh is what consistency the resultant mixture has. Is it a blila raka or blila ava? Blila raka means a loose, liquidy type of batter that you're making out of it, and blila ava would be more doughy type, much thicker type. Generally speaking, when we talk about things that are the defining factor between liquids and solids is whether it pours from one kli to another. If something can pour, you pour it out, it doesn't just plop out, but it actually pours out from one container to another, then you say that's considered liquid. We discussed in many cases in Hilchos Shabbos of what, when something is a liquid or not. So it's over here, a blila raka, a soft mixture, is something that the results can be poured out. I mean, I think the typical example would be a cake batter. It's very liquidy, and that can be poured out into, usually it's poured out into a baking pan, whereas a challah dough is a lot more solid. If you turn the pan upside down, it will fall out, but it doesn't pour out. Now, halachically, what's the difference? The difference is that a blila ava, the thick type of mixture that one makes, is the typical case of lisha, of kneading on Shabbos, and that is also daraisa. And essentially, we're not going to have much room to find exceptions. Whereas, if you're making what's called a blila raka, a thin mixture, something which flows, something which is more liquid, then we say that the issur is derabbanan. And then Rabbanon only made it there in certain circumstances. I'm going to point out two things that will make it allowed to be done on Shabbos. Number one is when you mix the ingredients. If you change the order from the way you usually do it, that already is a shinui. So if you usually put the solid into the liquid, this time you need to put the liquid into the solid, and vice versa. Also, just as a note, if you usually put the solid into the liquid, you pour the powder into the liquid. Now on Shabbos you want to do the other round. You put the powder at the bottom of the cup and you pour the liquid on top. So you must put some effort in to pour as much liquid as you can in one shot, so that it doesn't go slowly, because if it's done slowly, the first few drops that go in will perhaps create what is considered a blila ava, a thick mixture, and only after it becomes a thin mixture. Whereas if you put a lot of liquid in at one shot, then never has a chance to be a thick mixture. There is a discussion, as strange as it might seem, that to make coffee on Shabbos might be a problem of lisha, because you're taking a powder and you're taking water and you're mixing the two together. And maybe you'll tell me that making coffee is a lisha, or making chocolate milk is a problem of lisha. The ma'aser we're going to pass with them is mutter. You may do these things with Shabbos, because at the end of the day, it's not even a dough that you're making. It's purely adding an ingredient to water that gives it a bit of a flavor, putting sugar inside. But obviously, if you're going to be taking a little bit of coffee, a little bit of sugar, and a little bit of water, and making some sort of paste, and then pouring the hot water on top of it, so making that paste in Shabbos would be a problem. So if you want to make, say, chocolate milk for the kids, so you take some chocolate powder, and you put a little bit of hot water on top of it, and then you mix it, dissolve it, and so it will mix easier, and then you put the milk in on top. So now what you've made at the beginning is considered a problem of a mixture, so it's a little raka, but still. One has to be careful how one does it. So therefore, if you're going to be making these things like coffee or chocolate powder, then you must use a lot of liquid so you don't get into the shine of lisha. And the chayra, it is preferred also to make an effort to change the order that you would normally put it in. If you normally put coffee at the bottom of the cup and add hot water, this time put the hot water and add coffee afterwards. Although, now that I think about it, we discuss about special. when you put coffee at the bottom of a cup and then you put the water on top, so if you're taking the water from the urn and putting it on top of the coffee, so that is considered irui miklirishin. You're pouring the hot water in from a klirishin. Pouring water in from a klirishin is much more chomor when it comes to bishul. It's much more stringent when it comes to bishul than if you did it the other round. And if you put the liquid into the cup and added the flavorant afterwards, it would then, once the liquid is sitting in the cup, it gets to the end of the klisheni, a second klisheni. It's not pouring from the first klisheni, but it's really ending of a klisheni, which is a lot lower down on the levels of cooking on Shabbos. So, there, I think it would be advisable in all cases to always put the water first and the powder after, so not to get problems of bishul. The truth, bishul, and something that's cooked already, you don't have to worry about it being cooked. That's why we do make coffee, and they at least instant coffee making Shabbos because they're pre-cooked. But generally, I think a person would be machmir to put the water first and then put the powder afterwards. I was talking to Machalusa about this yesterday. And he told me in his house, they have a cup that stands permanently next to the urn. And anytime someone wants hot water, they put the hot water into that cup. And from the special cup, they pour into their own cup. Therefore, everything they deal with is a klishish automatically. And you take away all, 99% of all chashashas get taken away that way by making into klishish. So they just have a standard procedure without question. Is it visual? Is it not visual? What's it for? What's not for? They're just always, whenever they make something, they do it to English dish. So getting back to what we were talking about, and that is that when you're making a blilo rak, you're making something which is a liquidy mixture. So you have to make two changes in order. We said it's only a tzabonim, but if you make two changes, it will be permissible. Change number one is the way you put the two ingredients together. You usually put first the solid and then the liquid. Today you should put the liquid and then the solid, and the opposite is also true. The second change that one needs to make is the way you mix it. You usually take a spoon and mix it. This time, do it without a spoon. Pour the mixture from cup to cup, back and forth, and that way it will mix while you pour it, or shake the cleats, swill it, and that way it will mix together. Those are examples of shinui that you do. And if that doesn't help, then you can use a utensil, or even before that. Another example given is to use one's finger instead of using a spoon. Again, that's considered the shinui. If these are not aces, they don't do a fair enough job, so you can use a utensil, you can use a spoon, but instead of stirring it round and round like we usually do, this time we're going to say, when you mix it, move the spoon in a crisscross manner. What we call in halacha shesi ve'erev. Shesi ve'erev is actually the name of the threads when one weaves. You have the, I'm sure there's a good word, I'm sure there's a proper word for it in English, I have no clue. But you have the, let's call it the, like you have on a map, the longitude and the latitude lines. You have the up and down and the sideways. So, shesi ve'erev, one is up and down, one is sideways. So you move your spoon in a crisscross manner, up and down and left and right, without going round and round. That also would be considered as a shinoi when preparing a blila raka, which would be mutter. So, there, I just want to sum up again, because it's been a lot of details this morning, and then add one or two more things. Again, starting from the beginning, lesha is an isur, one of the lamates balachas, and it's also the Shabbos. We said, in order for lesha to be asur, it needs to have three conditions. The three conditions are as follows. Number one, you're dealing with two separate items and not a single item. So we said that mashing a banana, for example, is not a problem of lesha on Shabbos. Perhaps toichen, that's a separate story. Second of all, the second condition needed for lesha is that at least one of the items must be small. And therefore, if you're dealing with big pieces, you don't have lesha, so therefore we said in our salads, we don't have issues of lesha. And number three is that they must bind and form a new gush of food matter, and not remain separate items, even though they're mixed in between each other. And again, the example of mixing sugar with cinnamon, that they don't bind over there, they're just two dry powders that are now mixed together, but they're not bound, and therefore that is not considered lish. So those are the three rules that we said that would define for us what is lish on Shabbos. Then we said that something that was pre-prepared from before Shabbos, you can continue the melacha on Shabbos. Well, actually, we said it one more thing before that. We said that adding the water to the powder, even without mixing, is also already lash, if there's some form of binding that goes on. And then we said pre-lash something can be redone on Shabbos, and it's not a problem of lisha. But that's when it was lashed before Shabbos. We said adding water to flour on Friday, you can't mix it on Shabbos, because it wasn't mixed at all on Friday. But if it was mixed on Friday, now you want to mix it again on Shabbos, you want to add more liquid and mix it again, we get the example of a charosis, then that would be permissible, because once it has been mixed, you can mix it again. But the restriction there was not to whip it, but just to mix it simply. And we gave another example, would be the oil floating at the top of the peanut butter. And then we got to Lila Rak of Lila Ava, and we said a thick mixture is a Daraisa, a thin mixture is a Darabonon, and therefore if you make these two changes, then it's not awesome. So if you change the order that you use, put the ingredients together, so number A will say that this number A is you change the order, so if you usually do liquid then solid, or solid then liquid, you do now the opposite. And second of all, the way you mix it should be done with a shinoi for the way you do it during the week. Either pouring it from bowl to bowl, swirling it around, using a finger, and even if you have to use the utensil, to do it in a crisscross manner, not in a circular motion. Now, what about these two heterim? Do they apply to Bira Avo as well? And we're going to say, that these shinuim are not to be used lechatchila in something that is osam in HaTorah. If you have something that's osam in HaTorah, then don't rely on this to do it lechatchila in the first instance. Rather, have it prepared from before Shabbos. But sometimes you have a case where it's impossible to prepare before Shabbos. For example, you want to make a porridge for a child. And to make it before Shabbos and then leave it for 12 hours is going to not be fresh and good, and the child's not going to eat it. So then, in such cases where it cannot be done, prepared beforehand. So first we're going to say that if you have to prepare something on Shabbos, so number one is try at least put a little bit of liquid in before Shabbos. And then on Shabbos you put the remainder of the liquid in. Once you put a little bit of the liquid in and mixed it, so then we said you can mix it again. Some that has been mixed. Don't just put the liquid and mix it. Once it's been mixed, so you can mix it again on Shabbos, you can put the rest of the liquid in and mix it again. So that will be one eitzah if a person has to do a lisha on Shabbos. And the second eitzah is that in a chanami, if you cannot do this because this doesn't apply, so then you will, these two heterim that we gave for the Rabbanon would apply for a Daraisa as well. That means change the order that you put it and change the way that you mix it. But this again, we're going to only allow in a case of need, for example, when you need to make food for a child, but not because you forgot to do something and now I gave you a hint to do it, but rather it has to be a time of need. So I think I'm going to hold it there. The last 2 weeks, it gave me an extra, told me I had more time, I would cut out in the middle, so this time I'll take a chance. So we're going to wish everybody a wonderful week. And in Yemetz Hashem, we meet again next week, even though I think some people might be away next week, but I intend to be here. So with that, we wish everybody a good day and good week.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you so much.